See, but I love the Word. Man, the Word is just so good. It is just so powerful. Hallelujah. I want you to stand this morning. I want you to turn your Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 1. Let's look at some familiar scripture. Let's go down to verse 2, and then we're going to look at verse 3, and then we're going to drop down to verse 18. So, you know, the Apostle Peter had an experience with grace. He knew about grace. He knew about God's forgiveness. Amen? And listen to what he said. Grace, God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor. God's unmerited favor and shalom, peace, shalom, nothing lacking, nothing broken in your life. Be multiplied. How many want some multiplication of favor and shalom in your life? Come on, anybody? To you in the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ and of Jesus our Lord. Next verse, we know this verse, great verse, love this verse. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Turn to somebody and say, you already got it. Yes. Amen. Through, again, the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. Now drop down to verse 18. And look what he says here. Verse 18. Amen. Chapter 3. Chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. He carries this over to chapter 3, and I want you to see this. But grow in the grace, the favor, the unmerited favor of God, and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory both now and forever. Amen. Let's hold up our Bibles. Let's say it like we mean it today. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I have what it says I have. And I can do what it says I can do. Today, I boldly confess my mind is clear. My heart is open to receive God's word. And I will never be the same. Never, never the same. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to turn to somebody this morning. I want you to say these words in all you're getting. Come on. In all you're getting, get understanding. Amen. And then turn around and give somebody a virtual high five this morning and say, my God is good and he loves me. Amen. He is good. Amen. Wow. You know, over there in 2 Peter 3:18, this should be every one of our desires, right? Is that we grow in grace, that we grow in the understanding and the knowledge of Jesus Christ, that we come to the full understanding of everything that's been provided in the atonement, in the finished work of Jesus Christ, that we come to that revelation of all that we have. That was the Apostle Peter's prayer for us, amen? So we don't need to use our own efforts to serve or to strive to know the Lord. Because of what Jesus has done and accomplished for us on the cross, we can know him intuitively without striving, without struggling. Amen? We can just know him because of his goodness and what he's done for us. I want you to look at Hebrews 8 and verse 11 through 12. And I want to point out a couple things here this morning. Hebrews 8 and 11 through 12. Listen to what he says. None of them shall teach his neighbor and none of his brother, saying, know the Lord. Then look what he says, for all shall know me from the least of them to the greatest of them. For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. It is really interesting because he uses the word know two times. If you look back here to verse 11, he uses the word know twice. He says, know the Lord, and then for all shall know me. The word know here appears twice, but there's actually two different meanings in the Greek. So I want to teach you just a little bit this morning. So you can try to know the Lord by effort, right? You can try to know the Lord by effort, by doing things to try to know him. But under the new covenant, because of the finished work of Jesus, we all shall know. That second word is we all shall have an internal revelation of everything God has done for us. Well, it's one thing to strive to know, but it's something to have the eternal, internal revelation of everything that God has done for us. And the reason we can know the Lord intuitively or intimately is because he has forgiven us, next verse, of all of our sins. When you know, come on somebody, when you know what God has done for you and how much he has forgiven you, it's simply easy to have a relationship with him. If you don't know, it's hard to have a relationship with him because you're always walking in doubt and fear that God's out to get you. But when you know that all of your sins are forgiven, yesterday, today, and forever, amen, when you have a revelation that they've been nailed to the cross, then you can have the most intimate relationship with God, and it flows easy. And that's what Paul was saying. I believe the writer is Paul here in Hebrews. He is saying that we know the Lord internally. We have a knowing internally, a revelation internally that all of our sins are forgiven. Wow, that, man, you talk about giving you power and placing such authority on your life when you know that everything that Jesus has done for you is already done, it's already complete, and your spirit is perfected forever. Whoa, look out, devil. I'm a, amen. Why? Because you have such authority now. It places you in the place of authority and the ability to grow in that grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. When you have that knowing in your knower, when you have that eternal, internal revelation of what Christ has done for you. Because, listen to me. Right believing, when you start believing what God has done for you, right believing leads to right thinking. And that's what Romans 12, 1 and 2 tells us. Be transformed where? By the renewing of your mind. When you start believing right, when you have a full concept of everything that Christ has provided for us on the cross, you know it's already been imparted to you. You start believing that, then you start thinking that. And when you start thinking that, you start living that. Amen? First, it starts with belief, then it starts with your thought life. It begins to line up with everything I have in Jesus Christ. And when I start thinking that, I start manifesting that. How many wants the manifestation? Come on, somebody, amen. Man, when we believe it, we start thinking. When we start thinking, we start living. When we start living, we start enjoying everything that God has provided for us. Our healing, it's not a struggle any longer, amen. We know it's already there, hallelujah. Our finances, it's not a struggle any longer. We know that God is Jehovah Rapha, our healer, and Jehovah our provider, amen. He is Jehovah God in our life now. Everything has been manifested in him, and we have all the blessings of the Lord upon our life because of this new covenant, amen. Because we know our sins are forgiven, and all of our iniquities and lawless deed, he remembers. Members no more. Woo! Come on. Anybody excited about that right now? Give God some praise. Amen. It is the new covenant of grace. We are living today in the new covenant of grace. God is saying, I will, I will, I will. What God is desiring is just to bless us with all the blessings that he's already supplied for us. It's about God doing and blessing you because of the obedience of the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. He's willing. He has. It is complete in Jesus' name. God says to you, I will be to you the God who heals. Therefore, you are to be a people who walk in health. Wow. I will be the God of provision. Therefore, you should be the people of blessing. Blessing others. Why? Because that's what God is. I will be your provider to you. Amen? I will be the one that provides for you. Why? So that you can be a blessing to others. That's what God has done for us. How does that take place, Pastor? How do we, you know, we know about believing because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And then we know about thinking, amen. How do we continue just walking in the blessing of the Lord? Will you continue walking in the blessing of the Lord by feeding on Jesus? by feeding at the table he's prepared for us. We have a spread this morning. Amen. We have a table prepared for us. And as we feed on Jesus, we receive the good things at that table that's already within us, because it begins to transform our mind into what we have. I want us to go back. Last week we talked a little bit about this, but I want to go back to Isaiah this morning. Isaiah 25, verse 6 through 8. I love this scripture. It's such revelation in this scripture. Isaiah 25, 6 through 8. And in this mountain shall thou, the Lord of hosts, make unto all people a feast. Everybody say a feast. God has a feast for us. Amen. Of what? Of fat things. A feast of wine of the lees. Of fat things full of marrow. Of wines of the lees well refined. And he will destroy in the mountain the face of the covering cast over all people, and the veil that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death in victory. And the Lord will wipe away tears from off all faces, and the rebuke of his people shall be taken away from off all the earth, for the Lord has spoken it. In this mountain, he is speaking about Mount Zion. It is the picture of God's grace where the church is established. Amen. We're not on Mount Sinai, but we are now on Mount Zion. We used to be on Mount Sinai, but now we've been moved to the place of grace. The law was the place of demand, and now we've been moved to the place of supply. Amen. And it's really interesting because he speaks of this face covering. And really, it talks about the veil, but the literal translation is a mask. See, I believe this COVID thing is about ended, amen? The time to take the mask off is about ended. Can somebody say amen to that? And I believe that God is saying this is a prophetic revelation even where we are today, because it's spread across all the earth. But God says, I'm going to lift the veil. I'm going to remove the mask. You see, things are taking place within our time and with this time frame we're living in. And I really believe that there's going to be a great revelation of God's grace upon people. And the veil that was covering their face, the Old Testament law and religion, is going to be lifted off as well. Amen. And there's going to be a great awakening in these last days. Can somebody believe that with Pastor this morning and say amen and amen? Come on, somebody. Amen. Hallelujah. I believe that's going to take place. I believe it is taking place. I am hearing reports of people coming to the Lord all over the world and all through the United States. The veil is being lifted off their faces and they're seeing Jesus. Wow. Amen. When you see Jesus, man, it makes all the difference in the world. This pandemic is coming to an end, and it's bringing people to Jesus Christ. People are going to know the Lord through this time. Amen. They're going to understand what God is doing. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Look at this powerful verse of Scripture. We're going to go back to Isaiah here. 2 Corinthians 3:16. Nevertheless, when one turns to the Lord, the veil is taken away. See, God is doing something so miraculous in this last days of his grace. And I believe it's just an outpouring of God's grace to people to get them out of religion and to let them know that God loves them so much that they can have a powerful relationship with him. There's so many people that are looking for something, and religion is the place it seems they stick on, like Velcro. But God is dropping the veil off of their faces as soon as they hear about the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the grace of God, that God's not mad at them, but God is madly in love with them. Something all of a sudden happens, and the veil comes off their face, and they behold the Lord. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. God is saying he has prepared a great feast for us. The Lord of hosts. I love this. If you remember, we talked a little bit about this. The Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts literally means the one that fights our battles, the one that fights our enemies. When we're feasting on Jesus, as we are this morning, when we're thinking about the Lord, when our mind is occupied with him and the good things of God, we're sitting at his table and we're feasting from his table. David said, thou hast prepared a table before me in the presence of my enemies. As we partake of God's goodness. See, God wants you to partake of him. I said, God wants you to partake of him. God said, just take all you want. Amen. Just take all, just receive all you need this morning. See, God is so good. He's just reaching out to us today saying, come on, just take some more. Amen. Kind of like my mother-in-law, when I go to her house, she prepares a meal. She said, come on, take some more. I never refuse. Come on, somebody. Amen. It's always good. Hallelujah. It's always good. And the goodness of God in feeding at his table, man, just gives us the blessings of the Lord. It just falls on our plate, and it's so wonderful. Amen. And he talks about, he says, listen, partake of the Lord. The Lord of hosts makes unto you a feast of fat things. Fat things literally means translated oil. We have the anointing of God when we're feasting at the table, when we're keeping our mind stayed on him. We have that perfect peace in our lives. Amen. Gethsemane was the place of the press, the crushing, where Jesus was crushed for us. But I want to tell you this morning, there's a special anointing he has for us when we're feeding at that table. And that anointing in you is that power to overcome. That anointing in you, amen, gives you victory over the enemy. That anointing we have in us, amen, explodes anything that the enemy would try to throw at us. Listen what Isaiah 10:27 says, and it shall come to pass in that day, everybody say that day, and it shall come to pass in that day that this burden, his burden will be taken away from your shoulder and his yoke from your neck. And the yoke will be destroyed because of the anointing oil. Do you realize you have anointing in you this morning? You have the ability and the power to get results. And as you feed on God's goodness, as you feed on his grace, that anointing oil, amen, is just released and it destroys the yoke of the enemy. God does not want you bound by anything. He doesn't want you walking in fear. He wants you walking in faith today. He doesn't want you bound. He doesn't want you destroyed. He doesn't want any yoke upon you. He wants you walking in the freedom of God's grace and love for you. And as we feed on him, man, that yoke is destroyed because of the anointing of Jesus Christ. We have an anointing. In Psalm 23, he said, the Lord is my shepherd. He anoints that my head with what? With oil. And the reason he did that, and the reason he said that, because these little irritating gnats would come into the sheep's nostrils. And they would even lay eggs, and they could cause a lot of problems for the sheep and in his brain. And so it's just like the enemy, and this shepherd would pour anointing oil over that sheep's head and keep away those gnats. Listen, you've got an anointing upon your head this morning. Any thought that comes against you, I tell you, you can cast down in the name of Jesus. Why? Because you're anointed from your head to your feet. You have an anointing oil on you today. Man, the enemy, when he comes up against you, he just slides right off, baby. Amen. Why? Because you're anointed of God today. You have that going on in your life. And as you feed at Mount Zion, as you feed on the Lord, the yoke of whatever is holding you back will be broken down and destroyed. Wow. It is so interesting because not only are we feeding on the fat things of the Lord, but he said, full of marrow. The word marrow there means to be, in the Hebrew, wiped out. Anything that's coming against you as you feed on the Lord is wiped out. Amen. Any plot the enemy has against you is wiped out as you feed on him. Anything that happens that the enemy would point towards you is wiped out as you feed on the Lord. And not only that, he says, and we have the wine. When we feed on the Lord, we have the anointing of Jesus Christ that breaks the yoke. Come on, church. Not only do we have the anointing that breaks the yoke, but also we have the destruction of that anointing is wiped out. And the result of that is joy. Wow. Wherever you see wine, there's always joy. It's a feast, amen? And so we feast on the Lord, and as we feast on him, that anointing is just flowing out of us. Praise God. And the enemy plans are destroyed, and we have the joy of the Lord in our life. In Mount Zion, it's not about what we do to reach God, but it's what God has done for us. Matthew 15. Let me show you this. Matthew 15, 29 through 30. Man, help me slow down, Lord. I got so much to give this morning. Man, this is so good, Lord. Jesus departed there, skirted the Sea of Galilee. I like that word, skirted the Sea of Galilee. And went up on the mountain and sat down there. Went up on the mountain and sat down there. And look at this. Wow. Then great multitudes came to him, having with them the lame, the blind, the mute, the maimed, and many others. And they laid them down at Jesus' feet. And he healed them. This is a picture of Mount Zion. This is a picture as we worship the Lord, as we put our mind on God, as we magnify the Lord for his goodness. Amen. The Bible says, oh, magnify the Lord with me. As we begin to praise and worship God out of Mount Zion, this is the exact picture of what takes place in our life. Anything lame, anything blind, anything mute, anything maimed, any other thing is healed as we worship and praise him. Man, that is a powerful thing as we're feeding on the Lord. Amen. As we worship and we praise him. Praise God. Listen, turn off the news. It's not going to do you any good. It's going to put bad news instead of good news in your life. Man, listen, don't be absorbed in that. You need to be aware. Understand, we need to be aware of what's going on in the world, correct? Anybody believe that? But don't be absorbed in it. Be absorbed in Jesus. Be absorbed in the goodness of God. The world is trying to weigh you down. The enemy uses the things of the world to try to put guilt, shame, condemnation, sickness, and bad news in your life. Man, some people are just freaking out because Prince Philip died. Man, the guy's 99 years old. Amen. I believe he knew Jesus. Hallelujah. I am not freaked out about Prince Philip dying. I'm rejoicing. Turn to somebody and say, don't be freaked out, man. Come on, turn to somebody and say, don't be freaked out. God is so good and so precious, amen? And as we feed on him, we receive from him. The world's always trying to put that weight on us. 1 Kings chapter 19. I'm not going to go into the length of this story, but 1 Kings chapter 19. You're going to find Elijah the prophet had received a threat from Jezebel, and she threatened his life. And he became afraid and began to run. You see, fear will always make you run. What message you hear and what you receive can cause all kinds of havoc in your life. That's why we need to be feeding on the good news of Jesus Christ. Not the bad news, not what's going on out there so much, but what's going on in here within our spirit, man, and within the Word of God. And as we feed on him, because he is the bread of life, we receive life. Amen? His words are life to us. Amen. They are life and they are peace. They are healing. The Bible says he sent his word and healed us. But here's Elijah. Elijah got, this is a man of God full of power, full of the power of God, manifesting in his life. Amen? A prophet of God. But he hears the bad news that somebody's out to get him. This wicked queen is out to get him, and he takes flight, and he begins to run, amen? And as he begins to run, I want you to look at verse 9, if you will. Drop down to verse 9. And there he went into a cave and spent the night in that place. He got so depressed that he ran and hid in a cave. And he spent the night in the place, and behold, the word of the Lord came to him, and he said to him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Turn to somebody and say, what are you doing there? Amen. What are you doing here? And what is so interesting about this is the cave, they believe, scholars believe, that the very cave that he went to was the very place of Mount Sinai, of Mount Horeb, where the Ten Commandments were given. What happens, man, when things begin to come against us, and sometimes we don't know how to handle them, we revert back to old ways. We go back to trusting in ourselves. We go back trying to figure it out. And here's Elijah. He's running back to the law, to the place where the law was given. And God says, Elijah, what are you doing here? Listen, God doesn't want you hanging out in depression. God didn't want you hanging out in blues. Amen. God didn't want you singing the blues, right? No song blue on my pillow. Some will really get that one. You have to go back a few years for that one. Amen. No. No way, man. That's what God was saying to Elijah. What are you doing here? Let's drop down to the next verse. What are you doing here, Elijah? Man. And he said, well, I've been very zealous. And he just begins to give the spiel, right? All the things, everything was pointing to him. It's amazing how when we get into self-pity, everything starts to point to us instead of Jesus. Jesus is the one that's going to help us out as you feed on him. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life, Lord. Next verse, drop on down. Wow. And he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And the wind, and after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. Do you know what this was a picture of? This was a picture of Elijah's ministry. And what God was saying, Elijah, it's not about what you're doing. It's about me. And then listen to this. And after the fire, a still, small voice. You know, that is the whispers of the Holy Spirit. Amen? I mean, the whispers of the Holy Spirit are so amazing at times. If we'll open up our hearts to listen to what he's saying to us. You know what he says to us? I've got you. You know what else he says to us? It's going to be okay. You know what else he says to us? I'm your healer. You know what else he says to us? You are healed. You know what he says? Don't fret about your kids. I've got them covered. Don't fret about your grandkids. I got them covered. I say, thank you, Jesus. Grandkids are the most awesome thing in the world. Man, they are the best. You that aren't grandparents yet, just wait. Amen? They are awesome. Amen? Man, they are so good. Listen. Where was God at? God was in that still, small voice. What are you doing here, Elijah? What are you doing there? What are you sitting there for? Next verse. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And then suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here? When he heard it, he went out. Amen? When you hear that voice, you're coming out. When you hear that voice of the Lord, when you hear, come on out of that place. God doesn't want you hanging there. I've got healing. You know, God's got healing for our brains. Amen. God's got emotional healing for us. He doesn't want us stressing out. He doesn't want us worried or perplexed in our mind. He doesn't want, you know, you're just, every day you get up, it's just another bad day. God's got goodness for you. God's got good for your mind, good for your heart, good for your body, good for your bank account. We serve a good, good God, amen? And when he heard it, he came out. When you hear the whispers of the Holy Spirit, come out of that place, hallelujah. Realize how God has done for you, what blessings are on the table of the Lord. Begin to get up to the table, belly up to the table, amen? And start feeding on the goodness of God, not on what the enemy would tell you. Oh, you're not going to make it. You're never going to be any good. No, start feeding on the goodness of God because his goodness is what's going to see you through. His mercy is what's going to bring you through. His favor is going to open doors for you that no man can shut. Amen? It's that is what we feed on. That is what we enjoy. Do you believe that this morning? Amen? Hallelujah. 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at this. 2 Timothy 1:7. You know this. Some of you could quote it. But look what God, Paul told Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but what? A power of anointing, dunamis, dynamite, amen? And of love. Of love and a sound mind. There are so many people that have had all types of emotional problems during this time we've been through. But I declare to you this morning, by the love and the grace of God, that you have a sound mind. That fear is eradicated out of your life and out of your heart and over your family, and that you have a sound mind. Amen and amen. Come on, give God some praise. You believe that. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to somebody and say, no fear here. Amen. Turn to somebody else and say, I've got a sound mind. In fact, tell them, I have the mind of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. The mind of Jesus Christ, amen, teaches you and trains you even how to raise your kids. It'll instruct you in so many things in life. It will teach you so much, amen, and you start confessing out of your lips, I have the mind of Christ in every situation in my life. I have a sound mind. My life is not full of fear, amen. I am a fear not person. Fear is the greatest thing that holds people back from accomplishing the greatest things in life. Don't allow fear to hold you back, amen. Allow faith to guide you in the Holy Spirit. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ will bring you out of any cave of depression. Knowing God's love is ultimate in your life. You've got to know how much He loves you. And when you know how much He loves you, that fear is eradicated. Amen. The Bible says in John that perfect love casts out fear. Amen. Man, we've been made perfect in God's love right here. And there's no fear in your life. Amen. Cancer, no fear. Heart disease, no fear. Arthritis, no fear. Amen. Back problems, no fear. Thank you, Lord. I am the healed of the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Knee problems. Someone walked in with knee problem this morning. No fear. You are the healed of the Lord today. Amen. You receive it this morning, praise God, because God is your healer already. You just begin to feast on Jesus, and as you feast on Him, healing is just easily manifested. Amen. Let's stand this morning. Praise the Lord. Let's give God a good hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. Amen and amen. Praise the Lord. Turn me up just a little bit, Aaron, if you would. Praise God. I appreciate that. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. There we are. Praise God. He is so good. I want you to raise your hands up to Him this morning. Praise the Lord. We're going to cast out some fear right now. Praise the Lord. Out of this place, out of your life, say with Pastor this morning, thank you, Lord. I have no fear. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. I'm going to feed off of the table of Jesus, the fatness, the oil, the wine. Thank you, Lord. Tomorrow, amen. Thank you, God. I have no fear in my life. My brain is clear. My mind stays on you. I'm in perfect peace in every area of my life. Things that the enemy meant for me are destroyed as I feed on the table of Jesus. Amen. It is spread out before me this morning, and I receive everything the Lord has for me. I receive His goodness. Come on, I receive His goodness. I receive His healing. Thank you, Lord, right now, by Your stripes, I am healed. As I feed on this table, I am healed this morning, and I receive these things in Jesus' name. I give You the praise today, and I declare it out of these lips. I am more than a conqueror. I am more than a conqueror through Him that loved me and gave Himself for me. Can you give God some praise this morning? Amen. Hallelujah. Before you leave this place today, amen, we're so glad you're here. But before you leave, invite somebody with you next Sunday. I want you to turn to at least five people and say, I am more than a conqueror. Would you do that? Praise the Lord.